everybody. Welcome. You're listening to BBS Radio Station 1 with Growing Up Indigo, and I'm Adina. And you're listening to one of the top two first internet radio stations ever. So this is the place to be. And if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. You know what? I want to just say something about that. You know, most, you know, kind of, I guess, they're not logos because you say them. So if you don't, if you say them, they're not memes, because memes are, no, I don't know what they are. But this is like the first one when I say if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. I have to think about that all the time. And I think that's good, actually, that I have to think about it. So here we are. And today, I promised, what did I promise? That it's about you. But of course, it's going to be a little about me too. And the only reason it's going to be about me for a little while is because we're going to be on a little journey for a while. And that journey is something I actually never thought I would do. But it came out of nowhere. Over the weekend, someone found something that I thought would stay hidden until way after my death. In fact, I thought that it would be found by my children. Well, when it first happened, I thought it would be found by my children, and that I would have been gone for like 40 years, and they would read this and they would think, my God, did you ever even know her? No, like I thought it was, they would be like astounded. And then when I realized I had one son, I always knew that he would find this. So we are, I think that had a lot to do with the relationship I have with him. Although it started when he was so little, the relationship, I always had in the back of my mind that I had to let him know who I was, who I really was, because he was going to stumble upon so many things in my past, in my life, and I couldn't allow him to be like utterly shocked. So he knew a lot about me, but he doesn't know this. Well, no, he does know about this, but he doesn't know this. So, you guys know I've talked to you about it. This is the journal that I wrote leading up to my suicide attempt and after. It's the healing after. So it's about a year. It's a journal of someone who seriously thought about suicide, did it, and where I had to go after, and all the things I felt trying to heal from it. And so I'm going to talk about that in the next few weeks and read some of the things that I felt. I read so much. Of course I do, because it's not just because I'm an avid reader, and it's not just because I'm in this line of work. It's because I was trying so hard most of my life to be okay, to try to figure out why, what am I searching for? Never in my life, never, ever did I ever think that there would be a day, 35 years later, that I'd be here. Oh, here I go again. I do this all the time, that I would be here talking to you and hoping that if there's anyone out there who feels anywhere near this, that something I say will help you. I could never have imagined my insignificant, miserable, terrifying life would be able to help anyone. But that's what I'm hoping now. And I have to tell you something else. I thought that everything was such a mystery and that everything was so fated to be and that everything was so, I don't know, destiny, and it was so scary. And it never occurred to me, really, even though I knew by then that we had choices to make and that we were in charge more than we know, I still really didn't believe it. And now I really understand so well that there are definitely choices that we make. There are definitely things that our soul says, I am going to achieve this in life this time around. And we do. But I also believe that we have eternity. And I know sometimes I'll say that and people will just laugh because they think I'm being funny. And I'm not at all. We really do have eternity. So we can skip it. We can just skip this life of hard work. And sometimes, because I've had so many, many difficult, you know, transitions in this life, I'll think to myself, I must have skipped the last five lives. I must have said, you know what? Give me another easy one. Give me another easy one. Give me another easy one. And then this time they said, no. Now you're getting five hard ones in a row in one life, because this one's been tough. So I no longer think that anything is so dun, 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 you know? I think that we can really say, even up to that last minute, you know, that last second, I think we have exit points that we can honor or not honor. I think we can meet someone and we can make a pact with them. And then we can say when we get there, you know what? It's been really tiring this time and I just don't have it. I'll catch you later. Okay. And we catch them on the other side. I really totally believe that. And I think, and I want you to think of some of the relationships you've had where it's, you've parted ways and you felt that there was more here. There was more here. I know there was, you know, and it didn't happen. I think those might be some of those contracts that, and listen to this though, you might think it was them who did the, you know, the running away. Not so. Not so. Sometimes you're doing a favor for both of you. In other words, one or both of you may be growing out of sync with the other. And rather than stick around and wait to be rejected or for either one of you, you might be the one to say, you know what, I'm going to go. You don't actually say that, but maybe you do. I don't know. But then that person goes. So I think those are some of those things. I think missed career opportunities are those things that we just say, you know what, I thought I'd be ready. I thought I was up to the challenge, but no, I'm not. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have other opportunities. That would be ridiculous. Could you imagine? People say there's only opportunity only knocks once. What? If that would literally mean that you were supposed to do radio broadcasting. And when it came along, you said, no, I don't want to do it. And you didn't do it. And it doesn't come back. And now you have to be a bookkeeper. No, that doesn't make sense. What does happen, I think, is that let's say you were here to do something that was on a large scale. And you're saying you're not ready. They will bring you that back again. And see if you are ready. And they'll bring it back again to see if you are ready. There will come a point when you might be too old to do what they wanted on the large scale. However, they can give you something that will be just as good for your soul and for other people. It just might not be the original thing that you had planned on doing. And you, as the soul, know better. And you will say, hey guys, next life, I'll be in a much better place to do this. So I've changed really so many of the things that I used to feel. I no longer feel at all, a deep, deep, deep misery or sadness when I think of people who have passed on, although I do miss them. When it comes to my mother and my sister, I miss them all the time, all the time. And there's a loneliness that is always deep within me because they were really part of me. But when it comes to friends, when it comes to people that I cared about, that I no longer talk to, that's changed tremendously. Because I know, number one, we're always talking to each other underneath it. Always, always. And number two, I know that love, once connected, never ever goes away. And I know I'll be seeing them shortly. And I know that we'll be planning another life together. So I wanted to just, before we go into some readings, I wanted to read you something that I wrote, and I wrote this about 5 years after, this was in college, and I wrote this 5 years after I had tried to commit suicide, never really realizing why I wrote this. Think kindly of me, please, when you read this. I never meant to leave you. Oh, it's a sonnet, by the way. We had to do a sonnet. I never meant to leave you, your face I kissed, before I left suddenly in the night. You cried then, I recall, and my heart broke. My own, my child, a coward to take flight. Yet I managed to smile before I spoke and lied. I'm sorry, all to calm your fears. To a better place I will go, I said, although I didn't know, and touched your tears. The salt of my wounds and tucked you in bed. Do you remember this now, how I lied? Don't ponder my pain, go now and live. Inner deformities I tried to hide. I took them with me, so you may forgive. I guess I was writing that to a future child. I wonder why, though. I'm really like still kind of in shock because I haven't seen that since I wrote it. And I don't know. It's freaking me out a little bit, though, that I wrote that to a future child. Was I planning on doing it again? Ooh, I don't know. I really don't. So, okay. So we're going to just go into that. Not right now, because I told you what today is. But I do want to prepare people. And if you guys know anybody who's struggling or dealing with something like this, have them tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. PT, Growing Up Indigo, and let them just listen, because I really... It wasn't just even depression that I was dealing with. I was dealing with so much more as well. And there is no way that I ever thought that I would be alive at this advanced age of 133. So, okay. Now, let's start with some readings. The first thing I want to say, I always lecture, don't I? I'm lecturing. Okay. Some of the questions, I know not everybody reads every single thing I write on my site or anything like that, but I'll just go over it again. If you happen to be listening, please give me names of people. And sometimes people will hear me give the initials, so they'll assume that that's all I want. But that's not true. I'm the one who edits the, you know, does that. So if somebody's name is Susan Anderson, I'll say S.A. And some people will pick up on that and they'll just, hi, this is SA. But I need the whole thing. So I will never, ever say it. Also, some people will just, they'll write something like, tell me what my family, brother, boyfriend, sister's mother thinks about me. Now, lest you think that's too convoluted, I could do that. But I could do that in a private reading, not on the air. That's just too much. But if I'm sitting and doing an email for someone, I can do that because I'll sit there and I'll do that. I'll focus on it. So here we go. And let's see. You know what? Let's take a break first and then we'll get right back and we'll go right into everything. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Hello, we're back, everybody. Growing Up Indigo with BBS Radio, Station 1. So before I get into individual readings, I wanted to tell you that I sat down here, and it's not usual that I do angel readings as a rule when I do my psychic readings, free readings, but I heard immediately that Raphael was here and that it's not just me. I've had some physical pain the last 2 weeks, but he said it's not just you. He said that a lot of people needed a lot of healing out there. So Raphael is here, and Shamuel, he's actually the seventh ray of love, but he helps us find peace. And he also helps us find whatever we're seeking. And to me, that's a healer. He also heals the second and the root chakra, I think. And I think those are basic chakras that if we're not healed on those two chakras, I think that's the basis for everything. So they're both here. And I'm feeling them, and we're sending them out to you. And let me just do something before I read the first one. And I know someone's listening because she has been the sweetest, most patient person. Her name is S.L., and I promised she's number one today, and she will be. So let me just do one thing quickly. Let's see for everyone if there's a message. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. I wonder if that's true for everybody. So I got some angels. And the first one I got was Gabriel. And Archangel Gabriel, I know that it's a big thing between being male and female. And Gabriel is, I know, I've heard the right hand of God is Gabriel, right? Well, people are going to say Michael, but I still think it's supposed to be or was Gabriel. Gabriel is a kind of coppery color, and she's the nurturer, and she delivers important and very clear messages. She helps teachers and actors and artists, writing, parents, and yeah, Gabriel, blow your horn, remember? Yeah, right hand, I know. So, okay, so we got that. And in this particular case, I'm hearing that Gabrielle is, oh, and that's another thing I wanted to tell you. Yeah, when I was, you know, learning about Gabrielle, someone told me that Gabrielle does whatever you ask Gabrielle to do, not anything. I mean, not crazy stuff, but when you ask Gabrielle to give you confidence or to help you or to assist you with all aspects of teaching and speaking and, you know, anything of the arts, she'll do it for you. And it's about leadership too. I think we have been leading up, and that's true. Wow. We've been leading up to lead others. It might not have looked that way to you. You might have been feeling, wow, I don't think so. This is the lowest point I've been at since I can remember. That's right. It probably was. But when you get humble that way and you're down that low sometimes, that's when you're in the best position and you don't know it. Because that's when your knees hit the floor. That's when you say, I can't take it. You take over. And they do. They take over. They lift you up. And you're all of a sudden, you're teachable. You're ready to hear. You're ready to really listen. And you're ready to get up and say, I accept responsibility for my own life. And that's when you start moving. So then I just got that Archangel Metatron is here. Now, Archangel Metatron scares me. He does. His brother is my favorite Archangel in the world. Archangels Sandalphon and Metatron are brothers. They were both once human. And they're so different, though. They freak me out. Actually, no, they're not. I'll tell you why they're not. Okay. Sandalphon is dreamy, and he receives our prayers, and then he goes to God, and he says, so-and-so asked you for this. And he also is the guidance and the support for all of musicians. And the most important reason, the reason I love him so, is that he is the one who takes our dreams and who we are, and he leads us to those dreams and leads us home. He knows our calling, and he helps us with that. Metatron is very different. Metatron, he's very hardworking. He's a perfectionist. He does do a lot of healing. He does. He works with time warping. He also works with very sensitive kids, really. Indigos, crystals. Also, children who are said to have ADHD. But the thing that is interesting is that he uses sacred geometric shapes, which is fascinating because I've said this many times on air. When I was about 19, I had a few minutes of complete knowledge just being boomed at me. And I realized, they told me that the universe literally runs on music and math. So absolutely, I could see that they would be brothers. Metatron runs the math department and Sandalphon runs the music department. So I get it. Now, Metatron is also known for when you need an intervention, Metatron's going to give you one. So be careful if you ask for one. Now, I don't mean intervention in terms of drug addiction or anything like that, It could be anything. You could just be saying, okay, this part of my life is out of control. Sometimes Metatron is going to get you, whether, and I don't want to scare you about that, but sometimes Metatron will come in and he'll say, okay, you need to take a look at this. So what he'll do, when we've all had this happen, he will give us the same situation three times in a row, four times in a row, or there'll be different situations, but the same exact thing. That's Metatron telling you, I'm coming in, you know, you better deal with this. So Metatron in this instance is saying, we need our chakras cleaned. Now, talking about chakras, we just said Shamuel was here, and he's the second and the root. You can go anywhere. Anywhere you can download free chakra clearings. I know Jill Mattson, she's been on our show. She has them. Everybody has some kind of free chakra MP3. I know they do. I don't know who they all are. As a matter of fact, I think I do. If you want to write me at askadina@gmail.com, I'll send you some people I know who do. And there are some people who do them for a fee. I do. I do a whole healing session with it. There are free oodles and oodles and oodles of sites that you can get your own information on and do it yourself. You can put on beautiful music and do it yourself. I mean, it's really just so good for you. Okay. Now, the next and last angel, and then I promise I'm going, we have Michael. And everybody knows who Michael is, and everybody knows that Michael is the protection, the courage, confidence. He helps us with our life purpose. And one thing I had no idea, I didn't know that he does any fixing of mechanical and electronic items, but he does. So he is here to say, listen, everybody, be clear about what you desire, and you have to focus on it with unwavering faith. Pretty interesting. So we go from having been on the floor, right, and been miserable, getting prepared to be leaders, clearing our chakras so we can accept it, and then telling Michael very clearly what we desire, and then believing nothing else. Right? All right. We got that. That's easy. Actually, it is. I did a show called Dancing the Two-Step, and in that show, I put together the two steps, just two steps, thought and feeling is what we need. Thought, feeling. That's it. Nothing else. So my first reading is for SL. Okay. I'm going to read her. Her question is a little long, but I am definitely editing, as you know. Adina, I had a relationship with the man who was involved. His name is JCR. He broke me, but it's not the type of breaking up I expected it to be. He just suddenly got mad at me and never gave me a chance to know or to have a good or nice talk with him for a more peaceful or friendly breakup. Ooh, did you hear what I just said about that the other minute? Okay. He just wanted me to leave and he said he'll be okay. We both knew our relationship wouldn't have the chance to stay forever because of the situation. I love him dearly, but I let go. But I'm hurt because I have questions left unanswered with his sudden cold treatment. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Because of this, these questions kept lingering on my mind. I would like to know if he really did love and care for me, and if he still does, as he consistently seemed to imply to me and not took advantage of me or used me only for things. I believed in him and his principles in life, which made me hardly believe he and I got into a relationship only for the reasons I mentioned and manipulated me. He said he still needs to let me go because he wants to fix his life. I would strongly encourage him to do so. He said that he doesn't and would not want to have any other situations with other women like one of a certain K anymore, other than someone else who's in his life. Is he sincere with everything he said to me about his love for me and about him fixing his life and not having any other relationship other than this person who's supposed to be in his life? Is he hurting when he lets me go, just as I am hurting even now? We're going to find out right now. I get so protective. I'm so funny. Sometimes I'll just be like, oh, okay. So let's go see. So I'm going to take a look at JC, and I want to see, first of all, the thing I like to see is, first, if I don't have anybody else in the equation with him, what is he feeling? That tells me a lot. Okay, let's go. So the first thing I get is that his mind is on a female. His mind is on two women. One of them is probably hurt, and she is the type of person who, I got a lot. So this type of woman usually will get hurt and she'll analyze a lot. And what she ends up doing is taking every situation she has in her life or she's had, and instead of dealing with each one separately, which would be a lot easier on her, she piles it all on top of herself and then just says, oh, I can't even live. I can't even lift my head up. So he's thinking about how she's feeling right now. And he is saying that he's sad. And he thinks that she is not over it. He thinks that he regrets. Now, I don't know. Okay, what he's saying is, I could not carry that as well as carry all the things that you've explained to me, yes, he's saying as well. I couldn't do all of that. And he's also saying that I regret that. He regrets everything, I think. I regret starting. I regret not being able to finish. I regret, you know, all of it. And he regrets having to leave. Yes, he does. He feels what he'd like to do. I'm trying to phrase this better. He made choices in his life and he needs to honor those choices. And you understand that. And you of all, you're the one who always supported that. So you understand that. But it doesn't, he also says that, hey, that doesn't mean for the rest of my life, that's that, you know? None of us really do, if you really think about it. How many of us say, for the rest of my life, I will be doing A, B, C? You know, we don't. So he says, for now, that's what I have to do. And he leaves a doorway open in case, or you never know. So that's what he's doing. Now, this is interesting. At the heart, I don't like that. Hold on. Okay. Now, I'm going to say that not K, but the other one he does truly care about, okay? Not K. All right? He does. But there's something missing there. There is definitely something missing there. And with K, he had started something. Before you get upset, I want to tell you that it was cut off at the knees too. So nothing happened there either. And that was strictly, how do I put this? That was strictly for entertainment. Can I say that? And I'm not being funny at all. I'm really saying that was entertainment. And by the way, did they work together or have anything like that in common? Because I'm getting the feeling they do. And I'm also getting the feeling that he doesn't trust her. So that's just what I feel about that. Hold on a minute. Okay, yes. He's just grateful that right now he's okay and that nothing blew up yet. He doesn't really have too much trust or faith that this new start is going to work out that well. However, he does love her. So let me put it to you this way, S. What you did was honorable. And what he's doing is in good faith. And yes, he misses you. And yes, he feels the same way. I hope I answered your question. I absolutely think that he's on the same kind of wavelength you are. Okay? Okay, honey. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for being patient. Okay, this next question is from a K. And not the other K, no. I want to know how DR truly feels about me and everything. Can you tell me about our connection, including if we will unite? Oh, she wants to know everything. Okay. Everything. I don't know if I'll get everything though. So, okay, Kay. Okay, Kay. Kay wants to know how DR feels about her and everything. Okay. Now, I don't know if you meant reunite or just unite. I'll find out. Okay. What do you say, everybody? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh. What's that about? Ooh. Okay, so you want to know about your connection. Oh, you know what I should do? Yeah, I will. Okay, but first let me do this. Okay. Interesting, because so far, there's a one tie there. Okay, let me get some more, because I don't know that this is something you, okay, that's something too. Okay, here we go. All right. Now, there's a lot of potential here for a major karmic kind of tie. At first, I didn't think there was going to be, but in looking at it again and more, I think that there is. Underneath the situation, D feels like this could be a whole new start. So I still don't know whether this is uniting or reuniting. I know that he absolutely feels that this is a spiritual connection, no question, and that he views you as someone who is, I want to say, a little psychic and very independent and someone who doesn't say something unless she's got something to say. He thinks that you are honest, smart. I think he values your opinion. I think that what I do think is that something happened and he feels guilty, and Or, yeah, I think he feels guilty. I do. He also feels that he, what, every, yeah. I'm sorry, guys, they're talking. Okay. He feels that he's sorry that I think he hurt you. He says that there's been pain, or he was there somebody, I don't see, I don't get anybody else. That's not it. I just feel, I mean, I don't get anybody else. What I'm getting is that there's either pain he didn't want to look at, or I don't know, or separating you, or separating both of you. I'm just don't understand this. And he is saying that he doesn't have a lot of faith about things. And yet, when I look at this, there's something that makes me feel as if socializing, family, friends, like this whole thing would be like it's an already made like family and friends, and it could be so happy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, if you guys got together, this would be really great, and you'd get along, and everybody would be so happy. But that he can't handle any kind of stress, and he's torn about what he's committed to. I just don't know. Okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. Okay, so I do now think that he is either in the middle of going through a divorce, or got at already had one, has a lot of responsibilities, or he's just not over it yet. I think that might be it. So, in that case, hold on. Let's see. Okay. Dear, tell me what. Oh, again, 4, 4, 4. Every day, and then every morning, 4, 4, 4. Unbelievable. And I just looked up. That's so funny. Okay. What he's also saying is that he's not really very happy right now, but he does really care about you. He does. He really does. He likes to show his feelings, not talk his feelings, you know? So let's see. I'll ask for you. Will they unite, reunite? Yup. You will. And now I'm going to ask when. So tell me. What's that? Wait, what's that? Okay, my indication is really that I think. Okay, yeah, he is like that, isn't he? Wow, I'm getting almost the same thing though. All right, I don't know why I'm saying this, or what's going on here. I'm feeling that it's going to happen in the autumn, and I think it's November. I don't know why. I really don't. Yeah. Are you sure? Okay, it could be October, but I feel like if it is, it's late October. So I think yes, and I think that's when it will be happening. Oh, what? Okay. There might be a sign coming in July that'll make you feel that it happened sooner, but I don't know if that truly comes to fruition until the autumn. Okay. Thanks for writing in, sweetheart. I hope I helped. Our next question is from R. And R wrote, here we go. Can you help me find out what steps I have to do to get my boyfriend back into my life? Okay. Now, she didn't give me a name. So usually it doesn't make it onto a page unless she did that. but I felt like a tug. So, you know, hit me when she did that. So I'm going to answer this and we'll see what we get, because I felt like something was hitting me. When I did that, you know, like when I was transferring the questions onto here, I heard, you know what to tell her, you know what to tell her. And I was like, really? I don't know. So let's see. I do think that this is far from over. And I think it's in some kind of morphing stage. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, quick. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Okay, what steps? What steps? Yeah, I remember, yes, I felt that, but I don't get that. Mm-hmm. Okay, what steps? Come over here, please. Thank you. So one of the things that I feel is that, I don't know if I can, it's really hard to do this, not because of his name, no, but because it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. I don't yet know of the relationship, and you're asking me steps, but this is what I believe. I think that someone was definitely depressed and bored in the relationship and feeling either weak physically or weak emotionally. I feel that, and I'm going to assume this is you, I don't know who else it would be, someone, you were either overly emotional or you were just either overly emotional or not emotional at all. So it's one of those. It was out of balance. And there were issues of forgiveness that were going on. And it was either that you didn't forgive, he didn't forgive, but somebody wasn't forgiving. I'm looking at both of you because I can't, as I said, I don't know who or what. Now, this part, I think what I'm getting is that there was supposed to be a new start, but the new starts never happen. And that's what bothered him. He was angry, that much I get. I see him as someone very practical. I see him as someone who wanted to start taking charge of his life. I also see him as someone who, well, obviously wasn't telling the truth. I see him as someone who either started a new relationship. Yeah, I think so. And who might have started something with someone in the past, from his past, I meant. Let me see something. Can she? Okay. Tell me then. So what they say is this. He is not truthful. I'm just going to lay it out like this. He's not truthful. Money is very important to him right now. Control is very important to him right now. Something that was unclear to him became clear. He needs and likes moderation. He's taking this time to, you know what? Wait, you know what? You're asking me something that I don't even like. Not that I have to, and not that I'm judging. And everybody's going, what do you think you're doing then? Well, so, okay. Okay. I wish I could talk to people. Like, that's, I wish you guys would just call me. Hello. So, anyway, this is the issue. You're asking what to do to get your boyfriend back into your life. I'm looking at a guy that why? He's clearly really not ready for that or wanting that. I see him being, the thoughts that he has of you, you know what? Write me and I'll talk to you. Write me at askadina@gmail.com. I really don't think that this is what he's looking for right now. I don't. Nor do I think he's been honest with you. Okay? So write me and I will answer this question for you privately. Okay. Next is NP. He writes, I am NP. But he did give me his name. He did. I am NP. However, I am in need of advice on someone called K. I swear this is the K day, who is confusing me of why she has come into my home and can't leave. Is she real as a help in my life, or is she manipulating and taking advantage of me? Blessings, N. Okay, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. This is my determined voice. Okay. All right, NP. I'm coming over to take a look at K. Let's go see. So, K, what do you want with NP? Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I don't think that she's, manipulating. Well, I can't say that, but I can say I don't believe that she's using you. I can tell you that she's hoping she's charming you. I hope you feel charmed because she wants you to feel charmed. She lives in fantasy a lot. She lives a little too much in fantasy, if you know what I mean. She is willing to sacrifice for this relationship. She believes it's important. She has tremendous hope that you're her soulmate. So when I see something like that, I know very well that this is not a manipulation game at all. She does feel that I believe this must be someone who, I don't know if you have a past or not, but I see that in leading up to this, there was a relationship that was not equal before. And I don't know who it involved, but she seems to be honest and she seems to be honest and tell it like it is. So, NP, I'm going to say, she's for real. All right, everybody. I got everybody in. So, I'm thrilled that you're listening to BBS 24/7. And next week, I'm going to go right into Diary of a Mad Woman. So, thank you and have a great week. We love you very much over here. Bye-bye.